Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nobody better to talk about it than the gentleman who joins us right now here on Baskin and Phelps on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's a longtime NBA writer, was with the Washington Post, and is with the Post now in a couple of capacities, but covered the Wizards for 11 years for the Post. He's worked for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Yahoo, The Athletic. He's one of my favorites. He's Michael Lee. Michael, Jeff Phelps here, Dan Menigan with me today. Good to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Ricky Rubio, first of all, your thoughts? A guy who played some of his best basketball of his career last year with the Cavaliers before he got hurt. That's a piece the Cavs were looking to add, a veteran point guard. Your thoughts on him coming back to Cleveland?
Yeah, I think it's a great signing. I mean, if he comes back healthy, I mean, the injury was just crushing, you know, last season because he was having such a great year, like you said. But I think it just says a lot about just the kind of culture that the Cavs were establishing and just that, you know, a guy who probably could have gone just about anywhere chose to stay with that organization. It shows you that he has confidence and direction they're headed and the talent they have on that roster. So I just view it as an encouraging sign for the organization that, you know, that he wanted to stick around and kind of see it all the way through. I mean, they didn't get a chance. They made the play-in. They didn't get a chance to actually get to the playoffs. But I think that everybody who saw them last year knows there's tremendous upside with this squad. And as long as, you know, he can be there to help, you know, guide along Garland and Mobley and a lot of the young guys they have on that roster, it's an encouraging time.
Michael, if you're the Cavaliers, what are you doing with Colin Sexton? Are you trying to make an offer to him, or are you just sitting back and waiting to see if somebody will make the massive move?
Yeah, you sit and wait. I mean, that's the thing about restricted free agency. There's no incentive to just – unless there's a guy that you completely love and you know that he's a, you know, super-duper all-star caliber talent, you know, you don't have to just pay guys just because you can let the market set itself. And, you know, Colin, you know, coming off a major injury, and he's got basically, you know, let the market, you know, determine just what his value is and then decide from there. You know, if it's too rich, you know, maybe they can work on, you know, signing trades or anything in that regard. But I think for the most part, you just tell him to go find what he can get.
Michael Lee joining us from the Washington Post. If you look at the Cavs backcourt right now and the wing spots, Michael, you just drafted Obagi. You have Darius Garland. You have Caris LeVert. You have Isaac Okoro. You have Colin Sexton as the restricted free agent. Do you like that group, or would you sort through that group and try and tweak it a little bit?
Well, I think, you know, you made that big move for LeVert at the deadline, and, you know, it didn't really turn out the way you hoped, but you also know that it takes time for chemistry to develop and for guys to understand each other and sort of move forward like that. But I think you just kind of be patient with this group and see how they grow together. It's not like you have to win now or there's some urgency to, like, become a contender. I mean, I think you do this the right way. You build, you grow, and then when you get and you feel like you're at that edge where you're, you know, about to really make a leap as an organization, then you strike. I don't think there's any need to go beyond what you have in terms of just developing and seeing how these guys grow together and seeing which players emerge as the ones that are untouchable that you have to build with.
Michael, I love that thought. In today's NBA, how feasible is that for certain teams? I think it's feasible for a team like the Cavs in a market like Cleveland. I think it's even feasible for a team like Washington, you know, where okay, you're bringing back Bradley Beal on a max contract and you're adding pieces to him. But it's a weird league because I don't know if that plan is feasible in some of the big markets where they want to win right now. And that's kind of why I like it for our team, because you can do this, and I won't even say under the radar, but I loved your thought. When you're ready, then you strike and you make your move. How far away might that be for the Cavs?
I think a lot of it depends on Mobley's growth. You know, he's a guy who, going into the draft, that I was probably the most excited about, because I just felt like he could have a huge impact right away. And I'm really excited to see, just even though it was just a playing experience, just being in that kind of environment, just what it's going to do to help him elevate his game. And I think if he can make a leap next year, and then you start to say, oh, you know, we really got something special here, then you can start, you know, figuring out what else you need to do to build around him. You know, Garland, it took a while for him to figure it out and play at an all-star level, but you know he's going to keep working and getting better. And so when you have two guys like that that you can sort of build around, you know, that's a cause for excitement for me. But I think that a lot is going to depend on just whether Mobley can make a significant leap and become one of the best, you know, forwards in the game. We already know he can block shots and rebound and do everything else that you want. He already does the little things. His offensive game has come along, you know, came along pretty well. And so I just think, you know, you keep adding solid veterans around him. You have a Rubio, you know, guys who've been playing a long time to kind of help guide him along. And that's really what you do when you have a team like this. And honestly, I'm more encouraged by the direction of the Cavs than I am the Wizards. You made the comparison, but I just feel like you can be more patient when you have guys still on the rookie deals. It starts getting a little tougher when you're in a situation where you got to start paying people. And I think that as long as you have Mobley on a pretty decent, you know, rookie deal, you can be a little more patient. But once you start writing those big checks, you got to throw that out the window and start and trying to compete for something.
So, Michael, you would not rush out and hand Darius Garland the rookie max?
I would take care of him. I mean, he's an all-star. I mean, that's the type of guy that you gotta make sure you secure. Sexton's different, you know, because he hasn't reached all-star status. You know, he hasn't led you to the play or the playing game or anything of that caliber. Garland's a guy that I think is part of your foundation. Sexton is somebody that you would like to keep at a nice price, but if he gets to be too expensive, I think you can be comfortable with letting him, you know, make the most of his opportunities, because again, you've already proven what you can do without him.
Michael Lee joining us, Sports Enterprise reporter for the Washington Post, 19 years covering the NBA. Kevin Durant goes to Brooklyn, big deal, right? Everything, he goes there, Kyrie's there, they get Ben Simmons, if the Harden thing didn't work. Now Durant wants out, Harden's in Philadelphia, who knows what happens with Kyrie. Man, is it just me, or is that one of the strangest situations we've seen in the last couple of years in the NBA, Michael? Because and the Nets seem very willing to trade Durant and move on in a different direction here.
It's to me, it says everything that Josiah, a billionaire who is not short on any kind of money, who's making all kind of money in China, like he's a very wealthy man. He said, I would rather trade one of the 15 best players in NBA history than pay Kyrie Irving. Oh. That's what this is all about. Like, to me, like if the Nets are looking at one of the building block, you know, franchise players, a guy who could elevate just about every organization in the league. Mm-hmm. We have one of those pieces that everybody in the league wants. And mm-hmm. we're going to make sure we give him a trade, because we just don't want to deal with this other guy anymore. It's been a disaster, you know. These last 3 years, I mean, obviously Durant missed the first year with his injury. He played well last year. I think that if they had all been healthy, they probably could have won a championship. And it just shows you just how, you know, the margin for error for all of this stuff. If Harden is healthy and Kyrie Irving is healthy, they probably win the title last year. But this year they didn't. And then you have a vaccine mandate that Kyrie just decided to say, I don't care about my teammates. I don't care about trying to win a championship. I just want to do what I want to do. I'm not going to get the mandate. I'm not going to adhere to the mandate. I'm not going to get the vaccine. I don't care about what anybody or you guys are trying to do to win a championship. I'm just standing up for my own principles. I don't really care about anything else. And you saw what happened. The whole season fell apart. They had to trade James Harden because he just didn't want to be around a guy who wasn't fully committed to getting it done, to doing what was necessary to win a championship. Then you watch a team like Golden State win a championship. And yes, Steph Curry was phenomenal. The second best player on the Warriors was Andrew Wiggins, a guy who did not want to get the vaccine, who was openly public vehement about, I do not want to do this. But he also wanted to win a ring. He made a sacrifice for his teammates to win a championship because he knew what the stakes were for himself and for the team. And now we look at Andrew Wiggins in a totally different light than we did at the beginning of the last year. Now we see him as a champion. All Kyrie had to do was make one little sacrifice for his teammates, and maybe he's in that same situation. He refused to do it, and it blew up an entire team, entire championship favorite. They were a championship favorite until the playoffs. People thought they could still find a way to win, even though they didn't have a healthy Ben Simmons. And they were the only team that didn't win a playoff game. But this is the thing that's even more upsetting if you're a Nets fan. The Celtics lost 10 playoff games. Every team they played after them got at least 3 victories off of them. They couldn't get one. And now you want to get a max deal extension because of that? I mean, the lack of self-awareness from Kyrie is just probably the most baffling thing. And I just think that when you look at just what he's done and the way he sort of flaunted the fact that, you know, I'm the one that brought me and KD here. You know, I'm the guy that needs to be rewarded because I got KD. You wouldn't have KD without me. That just rubbed everybody in that organization wrong. And I just think it got to the point where, you know, Kevin's looking around like, I'm going to be 34 years old. I don't have that many more seasons to just throw away. And if everybody here is not committed, everybody's not trying to go out there and do what's necessary to win the championship, I can't just continue to latch myself to this organization or to this guy anymore. I got to go.
Wow.
Wow. So how do you think this ends, Michael?
Well, I mean, it depends on how hard Brooklyn is in terms of what they want in return for KD. I mean, they can easily demand whatever they want. It's just, are they going to get it? Is the team going to be willing to give it to them? The fact that they have them signed for the next 4 years gives them some leverage in terms of maybe trying to convince Kevin to stay, because he's in a very emotional state right now. It's just a couple of weeks since he saw his former team win a championship. And, you know, he's looking around. It's like, what do we have here that's really going to encourage me to stay? But if you sort of play the long game and just wait for the right deal, maybe you'll get what you want, but maybe you also can get KD to cool off. And so I think that's sort of where they have to stand. Don't rush to just make a deal to make a deal. Make the deal that's right for your organization. Don't worry about how it affects free agency or any other franchise, because it doesn't matter right now. You sacrificed a lot to make this work. You gave up a ton of picks and prospects. You gave up Jared Allen, who's an all-star now.
Thank you.
To appease, you know, these guys. And Houston Rockets are sitting back like, oh, please, just buy them out, please. Just be sorry for the next 4 or 5 years. We want to be in the finals like the Boston Celtics did when y'all gave up everything, you know, to get, you know, Garnett and Pierce. You know, we'd love for this thing to fall apart. I just think they got to do what's right and make the right move for the organization. And if that means that guys are going to be angry and upset because it's taking too long, then so be it. They got a right to be upset at the guys they invested the last 3 years in for not delivering.
Michael Lee joining us from the Washington Post, Sports Enterprise reporter. So what happens with Kyrie?
Oh, man. I'd be surprised if he plays another game for the Nets. I think that they want to just get away from him. They want to get out of the Kyrie business. And if that means find a trade partner, so be it. If that means just saying, we'll just count our losses. You know, we're willing to pay you half your salary to not play last year. We'll give you the full salary to not play for us this year. I just think they want to be done with that. You know, he did a lot to burn that whole thing down. And if I'm an organization, you know, I just look back at his track record. You know, he bailed on the championship, you know, caliber team in Cleveland, and he goes to Boston. And this is the thing that upsets me about Kyrie and why, like, it's frustrating with him. He was in Boston for 2 years. In those 2 years, the first year that he was there, the Celtics went to the conference finals, went to game 7 of the conference finals with one shot to go to the NBA championship while he was injured and hurt. The next year, he comes back. They go out in the second round, and he completely flames out in the second round. One of the worst performances you could ever see from, you know, a best player on the team. And then he bails and leaves and goes to Brooklyn. The very next year, the Celtics are right back in the conference finals without him. And then they're in the finals 2 years later. So while as great as Kyrie is, as entertaining as he is, as wonderful a player as he is, how does he impact winning? And that's really what you have to ask yourself. I think that's what the Nets sort of determined too. You know, yeah, you won a championship in 2016. You hit a fantastic shot. You had the last three games of that series. You were phenomenal. No doubt about that. But what have you done outside of that? And I think that's really where the Nets are. It's like, you know, man, it's just, it was nice when we signed you. We were very excited. We thought that this could turn out. But this has just been just nothing but drama from the moment you got here. We fired a great coach in Kenny Atkinson, who's now won a championship with the Golden State Warriors. We traded away Caris LeVert and Jared Allen. One guy's an all-star, and one guy's one of the, you know, top young guards, you know, coming up guards in the league. We gave away all of this and all of these picks just to appease you. We signed DeAndre Jordan to make you happy, to bring him in. He's on his third or fourth team since we got him. And it's just all these things that we've done to acquiesce and appease you and give you exactly what you wanted. And now that we just ask for you to treat us with some decency and respect by saying we can't just give you a max deal because these last 3 years have been a mess, then you want to pout and throw a fit and then talk about, you know, you know, make these fake philosophical quotes, you know, to make it sound like you're doing something deep for taking a $37 million option. I think if I'm the Nets, I'm just fed up. I just want to move on.
Michael, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. Love your thoughts and can't wait to talk to you again. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, dude. This was
spectacular. Thanks for having me on.
Michael Lee, Washington Post. He's covered the NBA for 19 years. He's their senior enterprise reporter. Michael's also a great guy to follow on Twitter, and you can do that at Mr. Michael Lee.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.